Dr. Stephanie Jones from Pinches Medical is with us for our medical hour, effectively. How are you doing? You okay?
Hiya. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, very well, thank you. Doing all right. Spot of conjunctivitis, but, you know, won't let that get between us.
Oh, it goes round.
It does, doesn't it? Now, what's going on in health and wellbeing this month?
Well, we've still got a big focus on vaccines at the moment, and flu, obviously it's flu season. We're still, you know, doing a lot of flu vaccines in Pinches at the moment. But also, I wanted to talk a bit about vaccines because we've had some inquiries from parents who are really concerned about vaccinating their children and are we doing the right thing and this kind of thing, and they're worried about it. And so, you know, I wanted to launch a new service. So we're already quite well known in the area anyway for our travel vaccines, and we're a registered yellow fever vaccination centre, and so our nursing staff are really well experienced with the whole vaccination area. And so what we're going to start doing is a consultation service for parents who are concerned about vaccines, or anybody who's concerned about vaccines, if they just want to come in and have a consultation and just chat through with, you know, in an open, transparent way, and just talk about the risks and benefits and you know, ask questions, because it's something that you never really get time to do when you go and see your doctor, and often people feel like their concerns are being dismissed, and you know, this is just something that I feel very strongly about, that, you know, parents need that opportunity. So that's something that I wanted to cover, really, is just to sort of give a bit more information and talk about the truth about MMR, because that's one of the key ones, really, that's the most controversial.
Yeah, I mean, even now, isn't it? Even today, you still get parents who are worried about the MMR following the stories from, well, we're talking years ago, aren't we?
Effectively. Yeah, 30 years ago. Yeah. And you know, and it's understandable. I mean, parents are really concerned. You know, you want to do the best thing for your kids, and, you know, not everybody's got medical education and knows all about the facts and figures, so they hear something and it makes them worried. And so really what we need is to just have open conversations where people could just ask questions and you know, get the answers and get the truth that they want to hear.
We're discussing all things medical, mainly vaccines this week, with Dr. Stephanie Jones from Pinches Medical. Dr. Stephanie, question yep. for you. What do we need to know about vaccines?
Well, a lot of people find it really sort of mysterious and think, oh, you know, we're giving this thing, we don't really understand too much about it. So that might be quite nice to actually explain how they're made. What is a vaccine? Mm. And it depends. I mean, I'm a pharmaceutical physician as well as a GP.
Yeah.
And I've worked in safety and risk management for vaccines for some years. So I know a lot about how they're made and how the safety profile's monitored and all the steps and hoops we have to go through to manufacture and create and test and, you know, get through the regulatory approval before it gets to market. Mm. So I know that, you know, when they get on the market, these vaccines have been established for some time already. And what we tend to do when we're making a new vaccine is we look at the shape of the bug and the sort of things that the body could recognise as foreign. And if you imagine, have you ever been on a beach and found something that's been sat there for a while and it's got all things crusted on it, like
yes.
shells and bits stuck to it? Well, it's a bit like a bug is like a sort of, I imagine a beach ball, because it's a round thing. And just imagine all shells and bits, all different shapes and sizes all around the outside of it. And the trick is to find a couple of those that are just, you know, and make an exact copy and get the right ones. And so obviously this is why it takes so long to manufacture and test them, because you've got to get the right ones that are good enough so that the body can recognise that bug again if it's exposed to it. And so what we do is then we make an exact copy of those bits, those like a shell on a beach ball, they're called antigens. So we'll make an exact copy of those antigens, and then you have to make several copies of it so that there's enough in the vaccine that the body can recognise and start making antibodies to. And then you put it in a formulation that can be injected, and you give it into the skin. So now, What tends to happen, I mean, the skin is an amazing organ, right? It's the biggest organ in the body. Mm-hmm. It does so many things. It's absolutely a fantastic organ and really helpful to lots of different systems. I could talk about it all day, as you can tell. The human body in general is fascinating. But yeah, it's full, because it's the first point of contact for us with the outside world, it's full of immune cells. Mm. So if you give this vaccine into the skin, these immune cells will then look at it, recognize these antigens, and then they pull in other immune cells and they go and start manufacturing antibodies. And then the cells that have manufactured those antibodies then become memory cells. And so they go and hide away in your lymph nodes and in your glands, what we call them. And then your body is then primed so that if you are ever exposed to the actual bug that has these antigens on it, your body has already got the memory of how to make those antibodies. So there's no delay. Mm-hmm. So straight away, you will just make some antibodies, clear off that bug, and that's the end of it. And you probably won't even notice having the bug, being exposed to it in the future, once you've had the vaccine, had the antigens already exposed to you in the form of a vaccine.
I suppose the issue that people worry about with the vaccine is because they know they're getting a little bit of it, you know, a little bit of the disease or whatever. And I think that's the thing that might scare people, thinking, well, you're actually injecting me with whatever it is. Won't that cause problems? But of course, it isn't like that. Like you said, it's like it's so the body can detect it, knows what it is, and can do something about it.
Exactly. I mean, most vaccines are just complete copies of a tiny little part, like the shells on the beach ball. Mm. So they're just an exact copy of it. So it's not actually infectious at all. It's just a something that the body can then mount an immune response to, so that when it does get exposed to the real bug, it knows it. It's not infectious. So no vaccines are actually infectious to the person.
Yeah.
Now, there are some live vaccines, and what they do in that case is they'll make a copy of a virus or something, and then they will change it so that it can't be infectious, so that it can't actually do you any harm. But this copy of the virus, then that's enough for the body to make an immune response to it, and actually then when it gets exposed to that real virus, the infectious form of the virus, then it can just straight away sort it out. And sometimes that's the only way that you can vaccinate against certain bugs. It depends on the bug.
Yeah. More in a second. Dr. Stephanie Jones is with us from Pinchas Medical. We're talking about vaccines, and I remember from sort of school we'd had various vaccines. We'd all line up in a hall and some nurse would come and jab us with something. We never quite knew what it was we were having. They'd tell us what it was called, but you never really quite knew what the deal was. And every now and again there was little issues, you know, sort of side effects. Is that sort of common with vaccines, side effects?
Well, yeah, everything's got side effects, every single thing you take. And so you always have to make a risk-benefit judgment. Obviously, the benefits of vaccines have to outweigh the risks, especially because they're given to people who are generally fit and well. Mm. And anything you're giving to somebody who's already fit and well, it has to pass a much higher bar of safety profile. So, yeah, they are generally very, very good, well-tolerated products. In school, the line-up thing, the issues you tend to get is kids fainting and feeling queasy because they don't like the idea of the vaccine.
Yeah.
So that's obviously a risk. But, you know, once you've had the vaccine, obviously what parents are often worried about is that it's going to sting while it's being given, and that only lasts a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
But, you know, the kid can cry and it makes you feel bad and you want to make sure you're doing the right thing. So, you know, looking at side effects of the actual product that's being given, normally what happens is as the body is mounting the immune response, obviously it's seen something, it knows it's an antigen, it's making antibodies, inflammatory cells are coming up and helping out with that process, and this can cause fevers. Now, we talked last month as well about this. A lot of people think that it's the virus that, or the bug that they've caught or something that causes the fever. It's not. It's actually your own body. It's our own immune response that is causing this. And that's what makes us feel feverish, shivery, a bit unwell, maybe sickly, maybe achy. So all of these things are quite normal to happen after a vaccine that you've had. If your, you know, body's mounting an immune response. Most people don't notice anything. Obviously, when I've had my flu jabs, I've not really noticed anything. You know, it's in the arm, off it's gone, and you're like, right, carry on.
Yeah.
But, you know, occasionally you do get some people who get a bit of an immune response. And, you know, it's difficult to say whether or not that's because they sat in the surgery waiting to have their jab and people were coughing around them and maybe they picked something up. You never know.
Yeah.
So it is difficult. It's difficult to exclude that. But, yeah, we do know that that's something that's normal. Obviously, there are things that can happen that are really, really rare. And they're the things that sorts of things that people can have when their immune response is triggered by anything. So it can happen in the background as well. So it's difficult to know whether that's something that would have happened to them anyway, or whether it's something that's caused by the vaccine. But yeah, we do sort of look out for those things as well. And we can talk all of that through with someone if they've got any concerns.
Sure. One of the things that obviously we were going to talk about is the MMR, because it's the one that's even now, years later, is still in the news, and still parents are really worried about whether to give that vaccine to the kids.
Sure. And I've known people, you know, in my own profession, you know, who've sort of sat down with me, because I was a paediatrician. They were sort of sitting down with me saying, well, what's the actual data, Steph? What's really going on with MMR? And I'll tell you the facts and figures. So the MMR is a vaccine that protects against three really horrible conditions: measles, mumps, and rubella. Now, most of us will have never seen any of those three, because that vaccination program, which was introduced in 1988, so over 40 years ago now, that vaccination program has been very successful and practically eradicated most of these things. Mumps you probably will never have heard of, but that can cause really terrible problems in adults, infertility, and, you know, really, really sickness. Rubella is horrific if it happens in pregnancy. It can cause terrible problems with, you know, an otherwise normal fetus. And measles, you know, it can kill, and also it can cause a child to be very, very ill and then disabled afterwards, and then it can come back up to 30 years later and cause brain inflammation and encephalitis, they call it, and, you know, all sorts of sickness, and actually kill somebody later in life. So it's a terrible condition. So all three of these are protected against in this combination vaccine. And about 10 years after it was introduced, there was a paper by someone who was at the time an eminent paediatric gastroenterologist. So that means he specialised in abdominal, basically bowel complaints in children. Now, some people say he just wanted his name on a syndrome. He wanted to find the Wakefield syndrome. So he was desperately looking for a link between autism and this bowel complaint that he'd noticed. So some children who had this persistent diarrhea. And obviously, as an eminent professor in this kind of area, he gets referred all the really tricky cases that no one else can work out. Now, there is a link anyway between autism and bowel problems, because these children, especially the ones that have really poor communication, will have problems with their diet. So they just don't want to eat specific foods or at certain times or drink enough fluids, and it's really difficult to get any medicines down them. So, you know, there are often bowel complaints for these children, some of them who are, you know, the worst affected. And so they're the ones that he saw. But this paper that he produced in about 1998, which was about 10 years after the MMR vaccine had been introduced, was in an era where people were still very suspicious of it. They were still doubtful. It's introduced, you know, 10 years isn't that long for something to be on the market in the UK. We're a very conservative population. We really like to have things tried and tested for a long time before we trust them. And so people were worried. It was one of the first combination vaccines as well. So at that point in time, people were thinking, well, you know, my child's been vaccinated with this new thing, and then later on I've discovered that they've got this condition. You know, I wonder if it's linked. And so they were looking for reasons, and it's understandable. But because he released this paper that quoted these parents' opinions, unfortunately then everybody started to question. The uptake of MMR went dropping right down. We got measles outbreaks again. You know, the situation was really not great. And so the government agencies all around the world started to do massive, massive studies looking at, is there actually a link? Can this combination vaccine actually cause autism? And so we did massive studies. Lots of people have done massive studies, and they've pulled it all together and they've got all the data, and actually no link has been found. And even in his own paper, this Dr. Wakefield, who's now actually been struck off and his paper's been retracted, but he actually says in his own paper, let me get it up and quote it, he actually says, "We did not prove a link between the measles, mumps and rubella vaccine and the syndrome." So in his own paper, he says they didn't prove any link.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem is that because people hear about something and they doubt it, and that, you know, so this has actually caused a drop. And when you look at the data, he only found 12 children with this autism and bowel thing that he was trying to make a link to.
Yeah.
Only 8 of them had had the vaccine. So at that point in time, 96% of the country had been vaccinated. So 96% of those children who should have got the vaccine had had it. And only 8 of the 12 that he investigated had had it in his group. So they were actually less of them had had it than you would have expected. So I would have concluded from that actually the MMR was one of the few things that probably could be excluded as a cause of their problems.
Yes.
But unfortunately, you know, people who don't know how to interpret clinical data, you know, looked at that paper and were very concerned about it. And of course the news takes things and wants to sensationalize it.
Absolutely,
or goes in the media. So, you know, the facts and figures are, I mean, we actually managed to, because of all the data and the evidence and everybody sort of saying definitely no link, the uptake went back up again, and we actually managed to achieve World Health Organization eradication status for measles in 2017, which is great.
Yeah.
But since then, there's been a drop in uptake. And actually, that was based on data from between 2014 and 16. And what we found is in 2018, so last year, we got almost 1,000 cases of measles again. So we've had some outbreaks. Mm. And this is a real concern. And so we've lost our eradication status now.
Yeah.
So this is why it's so important that we have conversations about it and people find out the truth, get to understand a bit more about vaccines and get their questions answered, and, you know, make sure that we can improve uptake for all those children who are eligible for it.
Absolutely. So if anybody would like to contact you, what's the best way of doing that?
Well, they can just find us on the internet. We're, you know, www.pinches.life, and the phone number's on there, and they can just give us a call. They can register interest. Or you can pop into Charles Row House and book an appointment. And what I'm going to do, you know, until the end of January this year, so January the 31st, we're going to make it free for any parent who is really concerned about vaccinating their children to just come along and just have an open discussion with one of our expert team, and just say, you know, what their questions are, have their questions answered, and just talk about the risks and benefits for their child, and make sure that they feel comfortable with their decisions.
Absolutely. So definitely take that up. You know, if you've got any concerns at all, that is the way to do it. We've run out of time.